This is Wade Rath, giving the chief organizer's report on the long tail of payback on Harvard's investment in coal-fired electricity production. What goes around comes around, even if 45 years later, hearing that food activists from Harvard University's Phillips Brooks House were interested in volunteering in New Orleans, triggered an immediate invitation from Acorn International for them to visit and help at the Acorn Farm in the Lower Ninth Ward. Seven showed up on a cool morning to weed, mow, and help in any way possible, having only arrived the night before, barely escaping the Harold Snow Ageddon northeasterner hitting that area. But before work began, the circle had to be closed with additional thanks for the help of Phillips Brooks House years ago when Acorn embarked on our first campaign to gain national attention. Middle South Utilities, now Entergy, the parent of Arkansas Power and Light, had announced that it wanted to build the world's largest coal-fired plant at White Bluff near the town of Redfield on the Arkansas River between Little Rock and Pine Bluff. The coal was going to come from the Fort Union deposit under the Powder River Basin in Wyoming, parts of Montana and North Dakota. Their proposal to move the coal to the plant was to build a slurry line where water from the arid west would flush the coal all the way down to Arkansas. Acorn had been fighting both gas and electric utilities over exorbitant rate increases and saw the plant as driving rates even higher. So on that score, our members were already agitated. Quick research found that their increasing reports, particularly from Europe, on the adverse impact of sulfur pollution, especially on agriculture. Acorn dispatched an organizer to put together groups of farmers and others on both sides of the river who were worried about diminishing crop yields, while the company was claiming it would lower their cost. There were actions aplenty in Arkansas to try and stop the plant, and I joined our farmers on a company-paid private plane flight to Kentucky to see the TVA's Paradise plant, which we blew up in their faces with reports of pollution warnings caused by the plant. All of that moved the needle forward, but the major paper at the time, the Arkansas Gazette, still saw Acorn and our efforts as ragtag. As a public company, Acorn was able to determine its major investors were the pride of the Ivy League, that talking about energy now, with Harvard first, Princeton and Yale right behind. We reached out for an organizer we knew in the area, and he started making contacts at Harvard, launching a petition, getting students to join us in demanding the board of Harvard join us in opposing the plant, unless there were scrubbers to stop the pollution and other modifications. The Harvard Crimson did a piece by Nick Lehman from New Orleans, and now with the New Yorker and other posts, all of which finally triggered the Gazette to run Acorn's campaign on the front page for the first time in our young history and put additional pressure on the company. We eventually won a good deal of that campaign when the company had to cut the size of the plant in half, drop the slurry line, also opposed by our allies in the Northern Plains Resource Council, and made pollution adjustments. Where did we get the most support from Harvard? The Phillips Brooks House, where I also spoke and did recruitment, but that's another story. We thank the Harvard students again as they worked with us in a different way and gave them an Acorn flag from our Latin American affiliates to bring home to hang in the house, reviving the tale and closing the circle once again. This is Wade Ranthe. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.